Hello, welcome to the WDW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by a special guest today, Tracy McCoy. Welcome, how are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. How are you?
Good. You're smiling and you're happy, which it's hard to believe considering the time frame you've just had and when you came home from your trip. So it's great to see you. We're going to jump right into the show, but I'm super excited because I have a travel expert on right now. So Tracy is a travel agent with Trips to the Mouse and You Pack, We Plan. And she specializes in Disney, but she does everything. So it's great to have an expert on. And the trip we're going to talk about today has absolutely nothing to do with Disney, but is like on everyone's bucket list. You went on an awesome cruise to where?
We went on a 7-night cruise to Alaska.
Oh, man, it is definitely on our list. My mom and my dad did it about 20 years ago, and the pictures they brought home were absolutely awe-inspiring. So,
and keep in mind, like the pictures don't even do it justice. We'll go into that, but it's like,
yeah, that's what I heard. That's what I hear from everybody. But before we get into the show, you know, we always talk about what's good in your life. But since we have a travel expert on, give me three destinations that are high on your list that do not involve Disney in any way, shape, or form. Give me some of the destinations.
So I'm going to give you a couple slightly more realistic, you know, just me. I tend to push my own trips to the back burner because I get so busy working on clients' trips. I'm like, sure, I'll figure mine out later. So one that just requires me putting pieces together would be taking our RV, which we bought during the pandemic, like a lot of people, and going out west and going to Yellowstone and the national parks out there. That's something I did as a teenager, and I definitely want to do with my own kids. I actually haven't taken my kids to Hawaii because the cost of airfare for 6 people is just so much. And then my husband's like, well, we should go for our anniversary, but I just feel so guilty going without them, as I know they all want to go. So it's like, if we can't all go, not in the near future, we'll be going without them. Yeah. And then finally, what is more like an actual bucket list item for me would be a hole where I'm an Italian Chicagoan. So what's on my bucket list would be a big family trip to Italy.
So. Wow. Those are all awesome choices. RV. So let's explore every one of those. The RV, is it like a fifth wheel or is it actually a driving RV?
It is not. So it's not even a fifth wheel. It's a smaller, I don't even remember how many feet, but my main criteria, we had a pop-up, but I was like, I need AC and I need a toilet. I'm not much of a roughing it. You know, I'm okay during the day, but at night, like I want to sleep comfortably and I want to have bathroom access. So, you know, like everybody, we were getting very stir crazy during the pandemic and it was a way for us to sort of travel. Kind of like I said, it was like a turtle. You could bring your home with you. You know, it was a safe place for the kids to go to the bathroom, us to grab a lunch. So we did a bunch of traveling actually in the summer of 2020, even went to Fort Wilderness in it. So, yeah, so it's not much for roughing it, but it definitely has bunk beds for the kids, an actual shower, a toilet. And my husband handles all of the emptying of the tanks. I just sit in the car and cringe and like look in fright, but.
Yeah, of course. So everyone's got a story when they were a kid and my parents had a camper. So we spent many days, many summers and even some winters in the camper trailer. Right. And we were enjoying it and we had no AC, so it didn't exist. So it was the hot, sweaty mess when you were a kid in the summertime. Mm-hmm. And then the toilet broke very early out in my childhood for this thing. So we would always go down to the shower facility. And that didn't take long to be like, this is the worst. This is the worst experience of all time. So those are good requirements for any kind of travel. Absolutely. And you're right about Hawaii. I just occasionally look at airfare for like, look at the airfare for Paris and London. And then Hawaii's always, it always tops them. And it's like, wow. And the last time I checked it out, it was well in excess of $1,000 per person, you know? So you're talking $6,000 for you right there, just an airfare alone, not to mention food and hotel. They're looking at the price of a cruise essentially.
Yeah. Point, I mean, you know? My big kids are 22 and 21, but I just feel really bad leaving them. So it's kind of like, if I can't swing the airfare for all of us and then have money to do things, we're just, none of us are going to go. Maybe someday, but
nice. And when you said Italy, I want to make sure I heard is this a Rome trip specifically? Are you talking like Florence? You talking, where are you talking specifically?
I mean, once you get over there, you kind of definitely want to see it all. My neighbor actually, so he's from Italy and then his wife is a professor And she's on like a study there for the summer. So they go quite often. They're there for 2 months actually right now. So I would definitely like sit down with them. She's on an archaeological dig right now while her husband takes their daughter all over. So, I mean, like I would sit down and get like the authentic places.
Nice. So the reason why we started this podcast is we love to travel, and we love to travel to familiar places and places that we know are going to be great quality every single time. And they treat you well. And Walt Disney World fits all those, you know, and so is Disneyland. But I love to travel in general. So when I hear about people taking great cruises to Alaska, or we just had Chris Young on with this great Amtrak vacation with three different legs. And I'm going to talk to Tamara about her trip to New Orleans. Like just travel in general. It's got such an amazing, authentic educational experience. Fun, yes. And I know it costs a lot of money, but like the memories you bring back, you don't know where they're going to come from. It could come from the gum wall in Seattle. Yep. It could come from the buffet. It could come from any location. And it really solidifies like your place, and it makes you feel like you're participating in like, this is good, you know? So I love hearing it. So talk to me about this trip. This was a trip that you booked yourself, obviously, as a travel agent, but you always wanted to go to Alaska, or this was like opportunity, timing, price, or how did this occur?
Okay. So my mom and I went to Alaska in the fall of 2019, fairly last minute. I got a deal because Disney releases some travel agent rates, and my mom had wanted to go, and she's a little more conservative, so I didn't think she'd go for it, but I was like, hey, do you want to go to Alaska in like 2 weeks? And she actually, rather than text me back, like, no way, like she usually does when I come up with these, she's like, she called me and she was like, yeah, okay. So we went on our Disney cruise. It was absolutely beautiful. And so I always tell people, those people that say like, oh, it's on my bucket list. Oh, I want to go there sometime in my life. It's so vast and so beautiful that you're going to go and be like, I can't wait to go back again. Mm-hmm. So my mom had been saying, cause it was just she and I that had gone, she wanted to go back and take some of the grandkids. Not like some aren't being selected, but you know, like in this, my two big, not like I only want a few. She, you know, the big ones, there's a lot of things to put together. So the littler ones, I have three younger sisters. My youngest sister is 13 years younger than me. And then her only child is within a few weeks of my youngest. So she was like, let me take, and I have my two youngest are boys. And then my sister, whose name is Kristen, she has a boy. So she was like, let's take all of them. They're close in age. I really want to take them to see glaciers. I want to take them to see whales. So we actually went on a Disney cruise over spring break, me and my mom and my daughter and her girlfriend, and we got the placeholders, which we were planning to use. Like, hey, any amount of a discount is great. We're planning to all go to Alaska in summer of 23.
What does a placeholder mean, Tracy? Let me interrupt you. What does placeholder mean at this point if you're on a cruise?
So they know they've got you. They get you on the Disney Cruise Line. I mean, a lot of cruises, a lot of destinations do this. But you know, when you're there, you're like, I love this. I want to do it again. Basically, it's like you're committing to go on it. You don't have to pick a date when you're there. You can if you want to. But you're committing to booking a cruise within the next 2 years with a 10% savings. Okay. So if you don't have your date, you can get two rooms. You put your $250 down and you just are promising that in the next 2 years, you don't have to cruise necessarily in the next 2 years, but you're going to get back to them and say, hey, I want to go on this cruise in summer of 24. It's not a huge risk because if you don't even ever book anything, it just goes back to you. So you don't even have to, not that you don't want to, but if you know, some people are like, well, I'm not sure. What if it's not a big deal. It can just go back to you.
It's 100% refundable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So there really is no risk then at that
point.
There
really isn't. And okay. I mean, like they know they've got you because Disney cruises are not known for being cheap by any means. I mean, they're well worth the value, but it's like, this is the only way you're really going to get a deal. Every once in a while, there's, you know, maybe a small percentage off, but you don't see the kinds of promotions that you see with places like Royal. Okay. So we had our placeholders there. Royal was doing their kids sale free promo. And we actually have some group space in July. So I was telling my mom, like, hey, like maybe we should go with our trips to the mouse group space. We started looking around at flights, started playing around with numbers. And it was actually, now there are some with the group that's going in July, like they have some excursions together. They have some amenities and things because they're booked as a group. But for seven, we had seven people going total. The savings in airfare going in June over versus the July 4th timeframe really added up. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy. We had a balcony view room And this is 7 nights for 4 people. And it was about $3,600.
Whoa. Holy cow. Yeah. With a balcony view room. Wow.
A balcony view room. Okay. So faced with those prices, my mom was very apprehensive. You can talk about going to Disney and like we go again and again because we know the quality. She's only been on Disney Cruise Line.
Okay.
I've only actually cruised Disney Cruise Line. I've toured Royal Ships when I've gone to like conferences on the coast. Like, you know, they'll have several cruise ships in. You can check them out. She was really like, I'm not going to like this. It's not going to be as good as Disney. And I talked to a lot of several people who I saw had Disney Cruise Line things on the Royal and were kind of like, well, what did you think? Like, how do you compare them? Royal's great. And when I talk about what do you go to Alaska for, it's for the scenery. And Disney, as much as we love them, they don't control the scenery in Alaska. Mm-hmm. So it was like, let's go on this much cheaper fraction of the price of what Disney Alaska is going to cost. And we'll save our placeholders and we'll go on the Wish next summer and go to the Bahamas or something. So that's how we ended up. And it was fairly last minute, maybe about a month and a half out from there, from okay. our cruise date.
So you got the whole family committed. You got a really good deal. That's a smoking deal, by the way, too.
It is. You know, it's just, yeah, you can't argue with that. Like 7 nights, you know, so.
Correct. All right. And you fly out. So you live in the middle of the state of Illinois. So you're flying out of O'Hare. Is that correct?
Yeah. Typically I like Midway. I will sometimes see St. Louis. I'm kind of equidistant, but mm-hmm. because we are joining family, I was like, okay, our best deal was out of O'Hare. So we flew out of O'Hare on the 19th.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Not on the 19th, the 12th.
Okay. And normally I just bypass this question, but I have to ask it now because it's relevant to anybody taking a trip anywhere. What was your carrier? Who'd you fly out with?
We flew out with Delta. Usually I fly Southwest.
Okay.
That's my preferred, you know. But we had a great experience with Delta, but it came down to price for 7 people in a nonstop flight.
Gotcha. Well, the reason I even say that is there are carriers right now that are struggling to maintain their schedule and they're cutting flights left and right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to kind of be wary, and I'm not going to name it, but, you know, do a little bit of research of who's struggling right now to maintain, who has enough pilots, who's trying to add pilots.
Yeah.
These are all really important things. You know, I learned on a trip home from Tampa, they were buying people off of flight. They oversold mm-hmm. the flight. Everyone showed up. I mean, it's typical that they oversell a flight and there's a natural, you know, decline as people get closer, if they cancel. That didn't happen. They were desperate to buy people off of a flight, but it's not an isolated case. So there's some weird scheduling going on. So make sure you do your research of who's your carrier. So, all right. And you're flying direct, correct? Nonstop, right?
Right. We flew direct with the kids. I always will pay a little bit more to not have to, one, worry about my luggage getting lost in a transfer, two, dealing with the kids. But like you're saying, a lot of flight schedule changes and flights being dropped. That's why I always have my clients fly in the day before. We had a extremely early flight the day before our cruise because it was like, if we have to scramble to get something together to get there the next day, we probably can. So give yourself that buffer.
Exactly. Sure. I've debated that. I was like, huh, I could fly in the day off and we can land with like 3 hours of spare. And it's like when you do that in the wintertime, especially coming from the northern to the southern for like a Disney cruise, it's like, or Royal Caribbean, it's like, no, anything can delay you. You're stuck on that tarmac for icing, de-icing, and all of a sudden, like the tension just builds. And if it's $150 or $200 overnight, like you did, I'm going to mm-hmm. expect that you did. You get to see a city and it's like minimal commitments. You just get to see the highlights for 1 day and you're there, correct? Is that what you did?
Yeah, we got there pretty early, went to our hotel, wasn't quite ready yet, stored our luggage, didn't really have any sleep because we left our house at 12:30 at night. Our flight was like a 6 a.m. flight. The kids napped here and there. And we went and wandered around Seattle for the day.
That is a crazy wake-up time, which I'm completely familiar with because when we drive to Florida and we drive it straight, we leave at 1:50 in the morning, plus or minus like 10 minutes on either side of that. And so the kids are like, by the time you go to bed, you're literally knocking on the door saying, you got to get up. So I'm familiar. Yeah. All right. What'd you see in Seattle?
So we were not by the Space Needle. We were over by the aquarium, over by Pike Place Market, over by the Ferris wheel. So we wandered around. We saw Pike Place Market, which was absolutely amazing. Like, it was crazy. We saw the original Starbucks. People were waiting in a line down the block for the original mm-hmm. Starbucks. same Starbucks product. Starbucks. But I did take a picture of it. I did. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw the place that everybody knows where they throw the fish in the morning. It's just so many different foods and shops and so much energy. And it was really, really cool. There's huge bouquets of flowers for that tons of people were carrying around. And then, of course, taking like all their social media photos, posing with their flowers. But yeah, it was really pretty. And then we sought out the gum wall. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
No, I saw a picture on your page and I was horrified by it, but please tell us more.
So they call it the gum wall, but it's literally like an entire alley. So it's, you know, two sides down. I couldn't even make a foot estimate. It's not just a section. And we went back at the end of our trip with some of my family who hadn't seen it. And my youngest was like, when he saw it again, he was like, oh, I only gagged one time this time. So he's not a fan of chewed up gum, but I mean, it's just one of those like just super bizarre, crazy things that people, you know, when I post about it on my social media, people are like interacting with because it's just so weird. Also, it is free. You can just walk over there and take a look at it.
Well, Tracy, when I usually see like things at like theme parks and like 50 people stuck their gum on there, but this is like gooey and hanging off the side and whatnot.
Like people tried to make like words or faces with it. And it's just gum everywhere.
Okay. And then how'd you get from your hotel to the boat? Is there a shuttle that you guys pre-booked? Uber, taxi, walk? Where was
it? We have a shuttle. A lot of the hotels in the area have a shuttle. Mm-hmm. But obviously it's not necessarily, I shouldn't say obviously. It's only at one time. And it wasn't that much for an Uber. I think our Uber cost us $15. And our time to get on the ship was 12:30. We asked for a late checkout. And so we literally left our hotel at noon. After our day before, we were like, we don't need to go over and sit at the port to ride the shuttle. So we had a leisurely morning, had some breakfast, slept in a little, and got over to the port.
Nice. What was your first thought when you saw the boat?
It is a lot. So especially the Disney ship that we went on, though, that to Alaska is a smaller ship. It's one of the two older ships. It's much smaller. So Royal Caribbean's Quantum of the Seas is huge compared to the ships. Even the ships that are currently sailing. I haven't physically seen the Wish yet. But even to like, you know, the Fantasy and the Dream, it's still bigger than that.
Nice.
So.
Tracy, the first boat I ever went on was the Carnival Valor. Okay. That was the first cruise that my wife and I ever took together. And when we approached the port, we literally looked at each other like, I cannot believe that's the first boat we're ever going to. It was like rusty on the side. It was like the shrimping boat would have been a better option.
Yeah.
They really worked hard to try and make a nice cruise, but that boat was like one of the original. I couldn't believe that was our first experience. So anything after that was going to top
right,
that.
You only went up from there.
Right? And we've been on the Oasis of the Seas. Or no, I'm sorry, the Allure of the Seas. And I think it's a similar class, maybe even a little lower class than what you were on. And it is like, you can't even fathom the scope that thing actually floats in water. It's so massive when you see it. It's unbelievable. And the height is ridiculous. You're like, that is not a boat. That must be built into the pier. So
this was my husband's first cruise ever too.
Oh gosh.
So, and then the youngest Henry is 7. He didn't remember the last Disney cruise he had been on. Only Samuel, who's 10, remembered. So like staggeringly huge to them.
Of course. All right. So you go into the terminal and the terminal is pretty organized. So I don't want to take any of the detail from you, but there's like a security element, right? You have to pass through a security to get on the boat. Is that correct?
Yes. And what was stressful to me and stressful, I'm stressed on behalf of my clients, is all the COVID testing right now that you need to do, because you have to have the specific test. You have to have it during the specific time frame and everything. So what we ended up doing was just paying out of pocket, because, you know, I tried to call around places in town to line up the test at the exact right time. And, you know, you run that risk of, what if they lose my results? So Royal has a site that directs you to, it's like a third party site where you just purchase your tests. They send them to you and then you do it proctored, basically like on a FaceTime type call.
Okay.
And they instruct you to do it. They watch everything. A timer goes for 15 minutes. They come back. They ask you to show it. And there's a QR code. And then they email that to you and you just show that QR code. So that's part of it. But beforehand, they have you fill out all of your vaccination information, because adults do need to be fully vaccinated. Unlike on Royal. unlike Disney, Royal will allow children 5 to 11 to be unvaccinated, but they have to then additionally test at the port. My kids are fully vaccinated, so they didn't have to additionally test. But sure. Disney is everybody who's eligible to be vaccinated must be vaccinated, even kids.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that was a very stressful, just like, yeah. Did I do everything correctly? Like,
for sure. And what was the time period? Was it 24 hours, 48 hours? When was the time period for that test?
2 days before. 2 days. So we were on a Monday and we took it on Saturday. They consider that the 2 days. So it's like the 2 full days before your trip. You do get worried and you're like, is it exactly 48 hours before I get on? But
yeah. So you, is there like a check-in person, like a hotel at that point, or do you pass through security first, or describe to me that port terminal?
They start kind of when you pull up and they check your bags, you have everything's, you know, on your QR code. There's people that you can still have a hard copy for some people who aren't maybe as tech savvy or just don't want to deal with that, but it's all pretty much done in the app. You have your set sail pass and all of that. So they just kind of scan it right when they take your bags to make sure that you're going where you need to. And then you head in. They did pull families with kids into a separate line, which is much shorter than the other lines. But you know, they check the passport, check your, they don't have to check your vaccination information there because you've already submitted that and that's already been all okayed, but they do check the QR code that you have gotten from, it's called the Navica app, from their testing site. So they check that over. And then you do go through security where they just scan, you know, whatever you're bringing on, make sure you're not bringing on any substances. You are allowed to bring on 2 bottles of wine per stateroom. So that would be something you don't want in your checked bags, because you have to have that as you go through security. But we didn't really, we just were like, we'll get our bags in a little bit. So we didn't have much. So we were traveling light at that point.
Okay. Your 12:30 boarding time, was that based on, is that a new procedure, or describe that to me? Because when we boarded, it was like everybody in this room, and then they started with the triple diamond platinum members, the diamond elite members. And then we got down to us like in steerage class, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely a change from COVID. Disney does this too. You know, it would be like everybody would come and like all want to get on at the same time. It is, you select your boarding time. There's probably preferred boarding times for the higher, you know, or they get first dibs at it. Yeah. But there were, I don't consider that very late. Like that was, you know, I think there was like 11 to 11:30 just to keep everybody from bunching up there all at the same time. And they specifically said, Disney said this too, like, do not arrive before your time. You're not going to be allowed in. So it was very like controlled the pacing of it. So we pretty much, you know, it seemed like a long line, but it was just constantly moving.
And when you boarded the boat, were you able to get to your stateroom immediately at that point? Or were they encouraging you to eat?
Yeah. Start the eating right now. Like all the restaurants, the buffets, the kind of what you call it, like the quick service places, those were all open, but it was still just kind of coming in and being like, oh my gosh, this is huge. And where is everything? So we kind of wandered around a little bit, but it wasn't very long. It was probably like 2 when we could get into our rooms. They made an announcement like you could go to your room. We did have to wait, not any terribly long, but like as your luggage was brought up.
So. Gotcha. So it's part of the first day. If you've never been on a cruise too, you know, there is a lifeboat preparedness. There is, you have to report to your muster station. You have to do all the, you know, the fire drill information, but that is required of every passenger on the boat. And then once that's done, you'll never have to do it again, but there is a small inconvenience the first day, but it's honestly, it's for everyone's safety. And it's consistent here with this boat as well, Tracy.
Yeah, it was actually a little bit nicer than Disney. Disney's was like, everybody go at this time. Here it was, you got on and they said like, hey, go to your, here's your muster station and it's on your card too. Just go there. And it was like, kind of, they give you the spiel. Like if you hear these sounds, you know, whatever. So that was kind of nice too. You just got in, got it over with. I know there were some people who didn't show up. Just, you'll hear this announcement on Disney ships too. It's like report to the muster station. So it's like, they really like scan your sea pass when you get there to make sure that every person has physically gone to the location they need to go to in case there's an actual emergency. They also had in the room, and this is different than Disney's, like I can't help but compare it to Disney, but they had bands in the room with the muster station that go on the kids. So that if they're in the kids club or they're separated from you for whatever reason, you go to the muster station and they will get them to the muster station. So my kids had bands the whole week that said C4 on them.
Nice. Because I remember at the Allure of the Seas, they were like everyone, and it was mass chaos. I mean, there was a lot of people crammed into every lounge, every place, and I wondered how they handled that. And it's smarter to be able to go and pluck them off as they come on over here. Yeah, you know, go to this. So that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. Did you hit the buffet on the first day?
We did not. We actually went to. There's so many great little places to eat. So. Yeah. It was just like soups and sandwiches and things. So we grabbed something from there and just kind of sat down, and then we did our dining that night. We didn't pay for any like additional packages. Like my mom and my sister aren't like huge foodie type people. And it was like, we're going to spend time with them. So we were like, we don't really need any, like I am kind of like a foodie person. I like to try some different things, but I'm like, we don't need to pay for that because we mostly want to eat with family. So we had main dining. The earlier main dining. So we went to American Icon Grill for our dining time, which was 5:15.
Okay. So I guess at this point, if you've not been on a cruise before, you have multiple options for food. And as Tracy mentioned, every cruise line has these upscale experiences and it costs more out of pocket. But in most cruise lines, the main dining rooms or restaurants have options at 5:15, 6:30, 7:45, 8 o'clock, you pick your time, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And then you're responsible for going to that dining room. Now, if you didn't want to do that, which the menu is vast, you have five, six different entrees. And I mean, you could make a really great meal and never repeat like for the entirety of
the cruise. The menus had like a portion that stayed the same every night, like five things, but then they would have every night five things in each of the categories that were something different.
Correct. Or if you didn't want that, you could go to the buffet. And the buffets, like, I hate to say the word Las Vegas buffet because that offers no point of reference. But take Cape May Cafe or 1900 Park Fair when it was rolling as a buffet. And that's what you're going to get at the buffet. But it may be even larger than that because it has to feed 5,000 people. So it's massive. Or this is the hard part about cruising. You could rationalize and literally graze throughout the day picking up pizza, pasta, cheeseburgers, bacon cheeseburgers, fried chicken. And anywhere you go, like you're never more than like, say, 150 yards from, ooh, that's fresh donuts. I can eat a fresh donut right now. You need massive restraint on these cruises because all of a sudden, I could use one of those. And before you know it, you've had your eighth meal of the day and you're like, what the heck? What's going on here, right, at this point? So tell me about the main dining room. Was it one option or do you get like two or three different options at different parts of the boats?
So unlike Disney Cruise, has the rotational dining. They have the three dining rooms that are in kind of your included dining for families. And you go to each one, like you're assigned, you're on this rotation. So this group goes here and then you move. There were two dining rooms like this right next to each other. Okay. And you were assigned to this table in this dining room.
Gotcha.
For the duration of your trip. But like I said, the menu changed. And it would sometimes kind of change too based on like maybe a port you were in. So one of our last ports was Victoria, British Columbia. And so it was like fish and chips was on there. So it'll change.
Okay. Before we actually talk about Alaska, last question. So on Disney Cruise Lines, as I understand it, you know, your coffee, tea, juice, and even pop is included on Disney Cruise Lines. But on Royal Caribbean, it's not. Is that correct? What's included as far as that goes? Because I know all the food's included other than upscale dining.
Mm-hmm. So yes, that's correct. Unlike Disney Cruise Line, Disney includes pop, as we call it in the Chicagoland area, or soda. They do not include that on Royal. You can do a soda or pop package for, I think in advance, it was like $8 a day. But my kids will sometimes have pop, but I'm like, you don't need $8 a day worth of pop. Like, it's just not, you know, I'm not like, I don't let them, like, you can have a Coke at home or something, but I'm like, we don't really. So you had brewed coffee, a variety of teas, iced tea, hot chocolate, milk, and then sort of like they have at continental breakfast places, you know, where you go up to the machine and you're like apple juice, fruit punch, lemonade or orange juice, kind of that. So it was fine. You do have the option of beverage package, which I was listening to Cassandra's cruise one. And, you know, she was talking about how Disney doesn't offer that you can buy alcohol, but they don't have alcohol packages because sometimes that encourages people to drink the amount that they feel like, you know, to get their money's worth. Royal definitely has those packages. I mean, we didn't see anything crazy, but you can also, like, I just paid out of pocket a couple times for a glass of wine at dinner. So that's also an option.
Gotcha. I remember when that post came out and I said something like, it was like, when I went on, it was like $67 a day for like the unlimited beer. And like, and mm-hmm. I thought, you know, it's not so much that a person might drink $67 on any one given day, which I get it. But if you drink $67 worth of alcohol on seven consecutive days, yeah, you've got a problem. If you feel like you need to go and
yeah,
you know, if you need to validate that purchase for 7 days,
yeah,
like, that's going to be a rough trip. I'm just going to throw that out there. It's going to be a really rough trip for somebody. So, but okay. So now we're on the boat and we're cruising. And by the way, the food in Royal Caribbean, and I'll speak up for you unless you're going to go contrary to my thought, is great. I mean, the food, I had no complaints. When we ate every meal, it was like, oh, this is going to be a great meal. I never looked like, oh, this is going to be, but I didn't think that way on Carnival. Carnival had some good options and some cringeworthy options that we just kind of avoided after experiencing them. And when you're on a cruise, like, your number one thing that you're concerned about, obviously now is COVID, but is like the rhinovirus and like foodborne illness, which doesn't necessarily come from the food quality, but it can. But it comes from the fact that you're sharing, you know, close eating quarters and utensils and drink cups that everyone else touches. So like, that's like your number one like nemesis on a cruise is like foodborne illness and like bacteria, you know. And so
I would say cringe to think that I would still see grown adults get something at the buffet and like lick their fingers and then grab the tongs. I'm like, so every time, you know, my kids came back from getting food, I would be like, go eat hand sanitizer, you know, because you've touched these tongs that I just saw that grown man lick his fingers. And you know, so, but I mean, of course, they're on your way in, wash your hands, use hand sanitizer, but it's just like, a lot of people don't, and I don't think I'm like crazy about germs, but don't think about the fact that maybe you just were eating some wings and licked your fingers and now you've gone up and used the tongs. So I was just always really careful to hand sanitize before you started to eat again.
Correct. It is a real thing. And I tell you, there's nothing worse than a cruise when you're stuck in your cabin for 2 or 3 straight days. And it's like, that's a lot of money to be spending in your cabin. Yeah. And that's a really small cabin and the boat's moving up and down and left and right too, you know? So
nope, we're all good.
Good. All right, so take us to Alaska now. So the boat leaves from Seattle, and it takes – describe to me the trip. I heard there's something about like an inner passage, outer passage, or take me to like your first –
So this ship doesn't completely go up the inner passage. It's a much larger ship than the Disney ship that we went on. So for the first day was pretty much a sea day. The weather was not great. Certainly didn't stop the kids. It was kind of cold. It was 52 and misty rain. Where the adults are sitting on the pool deck wrapped in the towel and the kids, the pool's heated. So they're just like,
oh my gosh,
having a great time. Like, I'm like, you know, these kids are from Illinois. Like, they don't care. You've probably been in Florida too, where you're like, kids are swimming and like, you know, Floridians are wearing coats. So I'm like, I'm not going in the pool, but and it was funny because I took a video that panned around. It was like all the kids in the pool and all the adults sitting out in the deck with hats and stuff. So It didn't slow them down one bit. They swam a bunch. That first day was a sea day. On that day, we also went on the North Star, which is their little viewing pod on we're on Quantum Seas. Yeah, that comes up. It comes 300 feet above sea level, and then it rotates around the ship. So it takes about 16 minutes. So we did that, and that was pretty cool. There wasn't a lot to see because it was a sea day, but it was just like, it was very hard to get reservation. And even Royal, they've changed it so much and so frequently that I called the travel agent line and tried to get a direct answer from Royal, and they couldn't even give me a direct answer. So we were like, let's just take this time and we'll go up. But, you know, Alaska's weather is very iffy, and there were definitely people who I know who had booked this didn't get to go up. Because of whatever the weather was. So it was like, we're just going to go and we're going to do this and we'll say we've done it. Like I said, not a ton to see. We were able to see a very large jellyfish that we were able to see from way up there.
No way. Holy cow. It's enormous then.
Yeah.
Holy
I mean, cow. we probably not all the way up, but we were definitely where it comes out over the edge. And we were like, yes, that is a jellyfish down there. So
wild. Okay. Did you see any whales in that first day?
It's so funny because every time someone sees a whale on the ship, it's like, I just imagine like the ship's going to go to the side because everyone's like, like they run all the same. Like we were in the buffet once and like even the servers, everyone's looking. So what you see, I believe they're pilot whales. a lot, especially when you, we saw them, I think, the day, I believe we left Skagway. And that's exciting. Like, clearly we don't see anything that cool in Illinois. So we saw a lot of pilot whales. They'll swim sometimes in groups, so they're easier to see. So we were able often on the trip to just see those at leisure from our ship. So we didn't see any whales from up there, but we were looking out. And then we really pack in the fun in this day. We also did, my kids did the iFly, which is the indoor skydiving experience.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. So they did that, and it is, I know there's one up, maybe two up in the Chicagoland area. Mm-hmm. Actually, wasn't that badly priced. It was $29, and you got 2 1-minute flights. So they took a group, and everybody did their 1 minute, and then they kind of let you go through and do it again. Because it does take some kind of, like, figuring out, some finagling of, you know, and there's an instructor in there holding on to you so you don't go all the way up. So we did that the first day, too.
Yeah, that's actually a relatively good value. I think it's more... Yeah. In Rosemont, actually, because yeah. I've taken my family, mm-hmm. or my daughter and my son there, but I think it's actually more. So that's
yeah, not my son did it. My oldest did it several years ago. And I was like, I think like 5 years ago, it was $60. So yeah. I didn't think it was too bad. The kids had a great time. They had, you know, their spit coming out and maybe other things coming out, you know, because yeah, your face. And we have some hilarious pictures because your just face is so jammed up. But yeah, so they did that. We had a lot of fun on our there's no shortage of things to do on your 2 days for sure.
That's the cool thing. When you book a boat like this and you book a cruise line like this, you know, your sea day can test you. I mean, when you run out of things to do, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, let's go for a walk again on the track. You know what? But like on Royal Caribbean, especially on like, is this like the new Quantum class?
Yes, the Quantum class, and this is Quantum of Sea. So like when I've gone on cruises without kids, I'm super happy just sit there and read my book. But kids aren't going to want to sit there and read a book for the entire day. Right. So like they want to do things, and there's tons of things for kids to do.
Tons. All right. So we're on day two. Are you at port? What are you doing on day two?
So on the second year, so our first full day was a sea day. Mm-hmm. Second day, we came to Icy Strait Point. Not a lot to do there. It was a full day. It was very beautiful. What my kids really enjoyed was skipping rocks. So we walked up and down the beach. They skipped rocks. There are some stores there. There are some, there's like a gondola system, like where you can kind of do some sightseeing, some zip lining, bald eagles flying around. Like it's just, they're like robins or, you know what I mean? Like you
just like pigeons like, everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Like yeah. This bald eagle just landed in the tree over there. We did that. Our fun was cut a little short because Henry kept he would get rocks, and this is again the 7-year-old, get rocks and be like, I have to carry these down to the beach. I'm like, there's more rocks down there. Like he would think he would find the perfect rock. So he kept digging, and he got a little dried sea urchin sliver under his nail. So I had to drag this crying kid all the way back to the ship and telling everybody else, you know, this reception's not great. I'm going to take him back. We got back to the ship and they said, well, ma'am, you can't go on for about 5-10 minutes. We're doing something. And he's crying, you know, the tears, the snot. And then they're like, okay, you can go on. So they let us up and I got the tweezers and took care of that. But I kind of said, well, like, how many of your friends today got a sea urchin sliver in Alaska? No, they're probably sitting at home playing Minecraft. So,
exactly.
So that cut our port, Henry and I's port time a little bit short, but the rest of the family just kind of wandered around, checked out sites and walked along the beach.
Okay. The scenery starting to change at this point?
Yeah, definitely. Mountains, real, like that morning, you know, kind of when you woke up, you were able to start to see a lot of mountains, snow-capped mountains and things. The next day, in the morning, I convinced my 10-year-old to wake up early with me because that's when we went up Endicott Arm and saw Dawes Glacier. So the ship goes, the Disney ship got up closer because it kind of, you know, it narrows, but this is like when you see pictures of Alaska, like snowy mountains, like the clumps of icebergs kind of floating, seals swimming around, maybe sea lions, I don't remember, but you know, mm-hmm. jumping up on literally on icebergs. So that's like, you know, so you get up there and then everyone's up on deck and they have hot chocolate and, you know, hot chocolate with vanilla vodka that you can buy. And they got blankets. And the ship does, you know, the captain comes on and says, like, we're going to turn. And it's crazy that this big, huge ship just does like a complete 360 turn so that everybody can see And then we, after that, we headed back down the fjord and went to Skagway.
Nice. All right, tell me about
Yeah.
Skagway.
So this is something that is going on quite frequently. I don't know. I haven't looked yet. I haven't had this impact clients yet, but a lot of changes in excursions. I have some friends who are doing some other travel advisors in our agency. Excursions like constantly like changing and canceling and whatever. So days before we were to leave, I got an email that said our float trip was canceled. They didn't have a
Tracy,
guide.
oh, I was going to say, staffing wise, COVID wise, is that the
Staffing. They
reason?
said they
Staff.
didn't have someone.
Okay.
They didn't have someone. So I was like, this was the Saturday before we left, panicked, calling, trying to,
Yeah.
you know, so we
Yeah.
just kind of finally found something that would work. Actually ended up being our favorite part of the trip. So it was with Alaska Extreme Adventures. They picked you up in the bus and then you went to the dock and you had about a boat ride that was about 45 minutes out to an area that was near, it's called Davidson Glacier. So you had this beautiful boat ride, which we saw pilot whales and just like, I'll post some video, but just everywhere you looked, blue skies, snow-capped mountains, you know, green fir trees, evergreen tree mountains, like just gorgeous, gorgeous. We really lucked out in weather, in terms of weather too. So we got over there. We had a short. We got outfitted with rain boots and things, and then we had a short walk down to a beach area. Actually, they gave us a little lunch first and let us kind of look around, and then we canoed, very large canoes, up to Davidson Glacier.
Okay.
So there was a lot of the water. They were saying like no fish live in this water here because there's like so much silt and things that it's just not inhabitable in this area. But it's all like kind of coming down off this glacier. So as this glacier got into sight, the cold wind blowing off the glacier, it was like, you know, you were over here and it
Wow.
was probably high 60s and sunny and like you're like, oh, kind of a little warm. I could take my sweatshirt off. Like cold blast of wind coming down. My
Wow.
mom's hat, she had taken her hat off and tucked it in her life vest. It blew out, like just from because while we were paddling, it like worked its way and blew out. So the canoes had a motor to help, but there's an area where the water is coming like so hard that they can't, the it's not just enough. So we had to paddle a bit to get up there. The ground is very silty when you first get out. So it was somebody I know, another travel advisor, had gone previous, like a week or so ago, and had a terrible weather. And she actually fell when she got out because it's like almost like you're stepping in quicksand. So the
Okay.
guide gets out and they're like, okay, this area seems somewhat, and this is why you have the boots, somewhat stable. So walk in this path. It's like silty water that you can't see through. I'm looking, I'm like, well, it only went up to about his ankle. So if I want, you know. So we got out and walked around there, and it was just like little streams coming off the glacier and just rocks. And we took a bunch of pictures. And then my youngest, of course, fell down. And like he falls, he's just like kind of a walking disaster. We call him
Gotcha.
Hurricane Henry. So we're like, yeah, of course he's gonna like trip and fall down in here, but he's unfazed. He wasn't like upset or anything, but we're like, yep, that's how he is. So we had some time, maybe about 20 minutes to take pictures, and the guides are awesome, so knowledgeable and really, really great with the kids. You know, offered to take pictures and told us everything they knew. And then we paddled back and bus back, and then we took our boat back. Now, on our way back on this boat, we come up to another boat from this provider that had died. I'm not sure what happened, if they ran out of gas, who was getting in trouble for what. But we had to tie a rope to them and tow them for a while. And so I'm like relatively new to TikTok. And my youngest was sleeping on my lap at that point. And I would tell my husband, I was like, quick, go, take a video of that. Take a video of that. So I put it on my TikTok and it has like 5,000 views. I don't know why people really, really love seeing this boat being towed, but I just kind of said, this is the importance of booking your tour directly with a ship or when you book a tour excursion, making sure that they have that guarantee that if they don't get you back in time, they will get you to your next port. Because a cruise ship, if something happens, they're not going to wait. So these people on the other ship, I guess they were on Princess, and this company does have that partnership and was able to communicate to Princess like, hey, they're going to be a little bit late, but wandered off the ship and were like, hey, you can take me to Glacier, cool. If something happens, it's a possibility that if they're not partnered, the cruise ship's not going to wait for you.
So. Same thing applies at any Caribbean port. When you decide you're going to explore a port, we've all seen videos where it's like they're running, they're hustling as the boat's pulling away. The boat will not wait for you. Once they blow that horn, like they're allotted a number of times, they are going. Good luck, you know? So, okay, good tip.
We towed them for a little while, and then it was like, okay, somebody is coming because we couldn't go like full speed. So even then I was just like, oh, do we have to rush? So we got back, looked a little bit, and then got on the ship for the evening. But that was, everyone was exhausted, but that was like the most exciting part of the trip. So I'm like, well, that worked out well. I was definitely like almost in tears the Saturday before this, where I was like, we have no excursion now. But they did a great job.
And that was in the town of Skagway, is that correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the town of Skagway itself can you describe the town? Is it Wisconsin Dells? I know that's a reference.
No. Like, there's not a lot of stuff. We went to Juneau last, and they were telling us like, hey, we actually have a Walmart. Skagway has an IGA. That's their grocery store. And they told us before, but you know, it's like a lot of places in Alaska aren't accessible by roads. You know, it's like you have your roads in your town, and then that's it. You can only drive so far. So like, they get their produce once a week. And our guide was telling us, produce and everything, like all the shipments come in on Tuesday, and I work all day Tuesday, so I get to what's left when I get to the grocery store. So
gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So we're through there. What's the next port?
Juneau.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So describe what you're doing at Juneau, please.
Okay. So we are doing a whale watch. This is where my mom and I had done a whale watch previously. It's typically one of the best places to see whales. No place can guarantee that you're going to see whales, clearly. But now, the day before, while we're at this glacier thing, I get a tiny bit of reception and I get a text from the whale watch. We did Juneau whale watch. We have to cancel your 3:30 whale watch because your port time, your all aboard time has changed, and we're not going to get you back in time. I'm like, oh my God, not this again. So I'm texting them. I said, do you have anything earlier? And they said, well, we have 1:30, but you're supposed to dock at 1:30. Like, we can wait a couple minutes. Like, can you be zippy? Was their actual,
That's the word.
I was like,
zippy?
Yes. Zippy. I was like, we can be zippy.
We will be zippy.
So we were down there, like ready, like standing at 1:15. And they're like, this is only for people that have excursions. I don't know if they meant Royals excursion. I was like, well, we have an excursion. They were like, okay, go off. So we were there and we were fine. But like, they were like, well, we'll try to hold off for you for a couple of minutes. So that was a little stressful, you know. Yeah. Yeah. But I said, they know we're coming. They know that we're going to hurry. So they said they can wait a few minutes. So then we went and did our whale watch with Juneau Whale Watch.
Hashtag zippy. I like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I was like, we can be zippy.
Did you see whales?
Give me this one bar of service. Let me, please. We're coming on this. We didn't see whales. My mom and I, when we went in 2019, saw more. That's, you know, whatever. But we also were able to get closer. They said that they've changed. I don't remember how close they could get. They said they had changed that. So you had to be further away. But still, we saw humpback whales. When my mom and I went, we saw humpback and orca. Just humpback whales. But still, from so far away, you can see and hear their spout. Like, you can hear it, like, when they come up. So we kind of, you know, they said you can only have X amount of boats. And there were not a ton of boats. But it was like, you can only have, I think they said, like, 4 around a spot. So it was like, if a fifth boat came in, somebody needed to leave. So we did that. We saw some sea lions that were kind of fighting to get on this buoy. And were very loud and kind of very obnoxious. So we did that. Our guides there were awesome. Like, answered tons of questions. Henry asked how big a humpback whale's blowhole is. Do you want to know how big it is?
Okay.
It is the size of a softball.
Okay.
He also said, if there is one close to us, we're going to want to go inside because you don't want to get covered in that spray. It actually, he said, it's about like a gallon of water, but mostly mucus. And he said, you will smell terrible. And we were like, I just kind of thought it was water. And be like, oh, kind of cool, right? No, he said it smells terrible. So that did not occur. Didn't happen. But
it's like blowing boogers out of your nose.
Pretty much. I mean, right? You just thought it was water, right? That's what it looks like in cartoons, but it is not.
Okay. Did you explore the city of Juneau at all at that point? Or were you back on the boat because you needed to board again?
Short amount of time. So we were like power shopping, you know, we're in there. And I'm like, what do you want? You want this? You want that? Sure. But, you know, just kind of, there was a place called, Tracy's Alaskan King Crab Legs. And we had to stop and like take some pictures. And my husband actually got a shirt there. It said, Tracy gave me crabs.
I got you. And I saw the picture. Yeah,
so
awesome.
It was like, we got to get that really quickly. So it was just speed shopping very fast. And really, that was their only kind of shopping time we had. So got my Alaska shirt here.
Oh, you're wearing an Alaska shirt. Nice.
I am. Yeah.
Nice.
It's the only thing I have that's clean.
This is true. You're under the lowest layer of your clean drawer now.
Pretty much.
Is the boat turning around at this point then to come back home to port, or is how many destinations do you have on the cruise?
We had another sea day after Juno.
Okay.
Again, it was a sort of rainy day. My 10-year-old Samuel was disappointed. He wanted to do the Flow Rider. So that is the surfing. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to surf. He wanted to do the boogie board. They didn't open because it was too cold and rainy. But we went and they played in the arcade, spent like so much money to get something out of the claw game, as you do.
$38 also, to get this six.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm like, you don't even want this thing. You don't even like this, but they're super excited to get that. They have an Xbox, I forget what they called it, but like several big screen TVs where you go out and you just check out your Xbox controllers. And so they played Xbox a little bit, just kind of wandered around. Now I forgot to mention, they have lots of live shows, not quite the quality you might see on the Disney Cruise Line, because those are, Broadway level. Mm-hmm. We saw a juggler the first night, and he was actually really funny. So nothing I'd see in real civilian life, but it was really cool and funny, and the kids had a great time. We saw a ventriloquist, which the kids loved. They were we arrived somewhat early, but they were in the very front row. The kids were. And so they were like shouted out something, and he said it. And then we sat behind them. But one night we saw the show called Star Water. The description for it was very vague. Show that you needed a reservation for. So I'm like, well, we better get the reservation. So we show up, can't find the rest of my family. We're like, well, we'll just sit back here. And if it's boring, we'll leave. The rest of my family's down in second row. Okay, come down here. So we get down there. It was a strange show. I'm not really sure what it was about. I will post
it's videos. Located in the back of the boat, right, Tracy? In like the dive pool at the back of the boat. Okay.
No. This one's not the dive pool. This doesn't have the water show. That's on a different ship.
Okay.
But it is in this area called 270. So it's like beautiful views. It's two tiered, but it was like, there was a comedian there one night and it said like suggested for adults. Didn't say anything about this. There was a lot of writhing around, some shirtless men, but my son there. So they're sitting behind us. And now we're like locked between these other people where we can't just like get up and excuse ourselves. He goes, I hope they don't keep doing the same thing, because that's going to get boring really quickly. It was just like this I know that there was some idea that was going on. It was like a love story, but it was just a little like the guys were sweaty. There was, it was just like, kind of remind me, I told my husband, I was like, you're going to get up there and kind of do that Chip and Dale skit with Chris Farley from Saturday Night Live. Cause it was just like, and we were just stuck there. Like Henry's like, can we leave? I'm like,
So it's gonna get better. Stop. It's gonna get better.
And so then I would say they only did it every two nights. So I'd be like, it was a joke, but like, if you don't be good, you're going back to Star Water tonight. No, don't make us see Star Water again.
Wow. Okay. They had no diving. Better. They had no diving. No.
That's on a different Royal. I know what you're talking about, but no, not here. They didn't have that.
Okay. So what is now we're
dead. Yeah, sorry. I just had to make sure I explain this to you, because there's going to inevitably be a video and it's super weird. Yes, okay, so day at sea.
I can only imagine. We should also say this, too. You don't have
to imagine for long, Chris. There'll be a video.
Okay. The performers for this, though, these people are they live on boat, and, they have contracts. And I remember even on the boat we went, we were walking around, we went to the health club, and all of a sudden you see the performers working out at the health club. They work out at the exact same place that you would, and like, hey, you realize – holy cow. Yeah. Everything is all encompassed here in this one boat, and they have to use the same facilities for this, that, and the other. So, okay.
Yeah. We were definitely like that on the Disney. We were like, is that Gaston? I think that's Gaston. Like, just kind of recognizing them. But yeah, no, the last half of the show was better. It was like full dance numbers with the whole, but there was, it was weird, but anyways, so back to our last full, our sea day, did things around the boat. We did take that a couple times. The kids went to the kids club. Husband and I went to the solarium, which is the adults only pool, and it's just absolutely beautiful windows, and so we just sat in hot tub and did some reading. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Was that the last? But that was a sea day to go home, or is there another stop?
Yeah, that was a sea day. There's another stop in Victoria, which we didn't book anything. A lot of people go to Bouchard Gardens. They do castle tours where, like, I don't really know if anything of like 2 7-year-old boys and a 10-year-old boy are really going to be into this. There was a very large backup to get off the ship. Okay. We didn't experience that in any other ports. I'm thinking it probably had something to do with customs and passports because you're in Canada. So we decided to go back, and this, it didn't dock until 4:30, and they were still saying like, well, we got to wait a little bit. We're not cleared yet. So we ended up eating and then going out after. So we didn't have a ton of time. There's not a lot walking distance at, I guess I shouldn't say like very quick. Sure, you could walk, like, you know, but the downtown area is quite a bit of a hike, you know, Juneau, places like that. They're like going to capitalize on these tourists getting off this boat with like stores, and there wasn't much. We kind of walked around it. Definitely, you could definitely feel that in the architecture and things like that, you know, British influence. There was a little fisherman's wharf that had some cool houseboats that we sort of looked around on, but pretty low key at Victoria.
Okay. When you mentioned the Bouchard Gardens, you know, they refer to that, actually, they refer to that in Epcot in the old, you know, Canada, you know, the Circle Vision.
Yeah,
so,
Canada, yep.
Exactly. Okay. And then are you now, is there another day at sea, or is it the next morning you're back at port?
Next morning, so, you're back at port. I mean, Victoria is the, they show you on, we call it the ship channel, you know, they show you where you are and stuff. And I mean, those arrows where you needed to go were so close. You could actually, we saw in Seattle, it was like you could ferry over to Victoria. Like they had some ships that would take you over to there. So it was very close, you know. Anyone who has not cruised, that is the rudest wake up on that last day. You know, it's like, get up and get out very fast. So
correct. All the lovey dovey, all the great relationships. It's like, all right, y'all got to be off really quick. Now go, you know, eat some breakfast.
Pretty much. So we did that, and it was very well organized, very smoothly. Again, it was, you know, a timed, you know, not everybody's trying to get off the ship at the same time. So we were off of the ship by 8:30.
Did you have any temptation to buy overpriced art, massive watches goodness. For men, duty-free liquor, cigars?
No, we did not. I was like, the shopping on here from a Disney fan, like a Disney cruise has like Disney stores and things I like. I'm like, I am not buying any Gucci belt here or some, like you said, like a fancy watch or anything like that. We looked in like, there was an Alaska store, and then there was a tiny little like Royal store, but I was like, I like the shopping on the Disney Cruise Line. Maybe I'll get a new Dooney and Burke. This, no, you know, but it's a very high end shopping things.
And when you go into the stores, they sell, you know, a lot of alcohol, duty free cigars, some basic necessities, a lot of clothing, you know, stuff that would be a souvenir. And then, as you're referring to, they do have potential. They have like art auctions and art sales. And all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I've always wanted to spend $900 for a 16x24 piece of art. And it's like, what am I doing here? No, I should not be doing this.
That only happens to me in Disney when I see those. I'm like, oh, I want one of those. But no, there, you know, it was more like, did you see how much that estimated or that opening bid was?
So. Yeah. Or jewelry, you know, they have precious jewels. All of a sudden Tracy's like, yeah, you know, I've always wanted a few emeralds.
Yeah. Right.
Jason's like, no, you did not want any emeralds.
You're just so in it, you know, like, yes, I need that.
Right. All right. So you're off the boat, and are you immediately coming home, or are you spending any time in Seattle at this point?
So we went back to the Marriott that we had stayed at, didn't have a reservation there, just kind of set up camp. Cause we were like, this is a great location. Jason had a paper to work on. He's taking some classes over the summer, working on his admin degree to become principal. So he was like, I'll just sit here, work on this paper, and you guys sort of wander. So we went over to the aquarium, which was across the street. And then we went back to the Pike Place Market because the rest of my family hadn't, my mom and my sister hadn't seen it. Yeah. So we had to show them the gum wall, and Henry only gagged one time this time.
Nice.
And grabbed some food, and then we went back to our flight was a 5:51 flight home.
Any delays on the flight back home?
No, we are very lucky. No delays coming or going.
Nice. And as you mentioned, I remember flying to Las Vegas in California before. Like, you leave at 6 a.m. and you land at 8 a.m. But that's because you've taken over some time zones. You know, like, this is great. Yeah. And then as you leave out there, all of a sudden that flight took 8 hours. And you're like, how did that happen? Oh, yeah. I lost time zone action there. There we go. So,
yeah, you jump time a bit. There was a couple times, I don't remember exactly, but like they left a card in your room on the Alaskan cruise. It was like, oh, you're setting another hour. And then, like you said, you're flying back home, and then we're leaving at 5:51, and we're arriving home, you know, middle of the night in Chicago. Oh, I did want to say one thing that was really crazy in Alaska that, you know, further helps you become confused and disoriented is that this time of year, the sun is setting at like 11 and then rising at 3:30, 4 o'clock. And even between 11, you know, from 11 and, you know, it's not even like pitch dark. It's like a twilight. So that is, you know, just further makes you have like no concept of time and space, and you're eating pizza.
Yeah, they don't jack you up really early in the morning. Yeah. It's like, yeah, okay, I got you. So give me like three words to describe this trip then. Give me three words, I guess three words that you would describe, not your family's adventure, or your kids or your husband, just like in your perspective.
So I have been saying that like Alaska is vast, beautiful, and awe-inspiring because you try to take these pictures to show to people back home, but it just doesn't even do it justice. Yeah. Like my son goes, it smells like Soarin' because it smells like crisp water and like trees and just, it's just, it's breathtaking.
Okay. And then give me a tip. What is something that you learned on this trip that you didn't know prior? And you're a travel veteran. I mean, what did you learn?
So aside from the size of the whale's blowhole that Henry
of course, that's
about,
great. That's great trivia for sure.
You have to be flexible right now, especially with these excursions. Like these things are happening to me. And if you're booking on your own and you know, like this can and may happen to you. So have a preferred provider. You know, I have always booked with preferred providers. And nothing's ever happened. I was like, oh, look, I just witnessed something happen that could have delayed you. But, you know, I also had two of my excursions could have been interrupted. And if I, not that nobody, you know, if I didn't know what to do or I didn't make the calls or whatever, like I could have potentially been out of luck and not gone on my whale watching tour. Like that's one of the main things people do in Alaska is go to see whales.
So your Royal Caribbean boat here, Jason, first time. Right. Yeah. You're and your mother, you know, so any hesitation again on boarding the next Royal Caribbean boat at this point?
No, my mom, you know, I went back because even before there was some time she was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. Yeah, she loved it. Yeah. And definitely those places where it's like you're there to see things off of that boat. Look, call me. I'd love to book a Disney cruise for you. But if the price of that is holding you back from seeing Alaska, you're going to have just as great of a time on the Royal Caribbean ship. It's clean. The people are absolutely wonderful, friendly. The food is great. You're going to have as great of a time and have more money for your excursions. Because when you go to Alaska, like you got to do those excursions. You can get off in Nassau and wander around on the Disney boat, but like you got to go see that glacier. You got to go whale watching. And those things are not cheap.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've told people that I've never been on a Disney boat, but I know what a premier value is and what a premium experience is. And when I went on the Royal Caribbean boat, I was like, that was a great vacation. Like I was not bored for one moment, and I know the value of my dollar. That was a great vacation.
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, when we were, I guess shocker, you know, in our Facebook group, we have a Facebook group and many of us now travel together. That's just what we do now. You know, in the summertime we got groups and they're trying to plan a cruise for 2024. And they were like evaluating, okay, is this a Royal Caribbean? Is this a Carnival? Is this a Disney? And almost, you know, unanimously, we were like, we can't afford Disney. And we don't want to go on Carnival and, you know, and Costa's boats topple over. So we're going to go on Royal Caribbean at that point. And I know no one will have a complaint. I know it's going to be a premier experience for everybody.
Absolutely.
As you go on a Royal Caribbean boat. How do people contact you, Tracy, if they want to book or they want to ask you questions? Because there's a lot of things that need to be lined up to make this trip, you know, function well. And you need a travel advisor for this. How do people get a hold of you?
So I am at Trips to the Mouse Tracy on Facebook. Find me in the Edcot group. You can email me at tracy@trips2themouse.com. And I just jumped into the TikTok because I need something else to do. That is TMC_travels. So it's
and apparently
TMC
you've got a really
travels.
You've apparently got a really good video of
I guess
towing,
so.
I
don't understand. I don't understand how the TikTok mind works, but they really like that video of the boat being towed. The second most popular video is me, you know, looking at the scenery saying like, It says something like, when you want to go, when Alaska's beautiful scenery wants you to make you run away and go full Thoreau, like, you know, but you didn't pack for that. And it pans down and I have like gold shoes on and a pleated skirt that has like 1500 views. I'm like, I don't know. I'll figure out what TikTok people like, I guess, but.
Yeah, that's a great question. So let me just, I was going to stop, but I do have one more question. Your packing list, how did you determine your packing list? Where do you get that from? Because like, you're talking like, okay, summer, great. Yeah, 60 degrees, 30 degrees, you know, 52 degrees and rainy. Where do you get this list?
I've had clients go to Alaska. I went to Alaska in 2019 and you're just always kind of evolving it. So I'm going to add to update, but like, waterproof shoes, layers. We had great weather, but the weather the week before was like misty and cold. I'm going to add to this like earlier summer, chip clips or hair clips to hold those curtains shut, because a little after the first morning, that little slice of sun was coming through and I have claw clips for my hair. And so I had clamped the curtains shut. And on like the second night when our room attendant came in to, you know, shut our curtains or put it, he clipped our curtains shut with my hair clips.
Oh, that's a great veteran tip. Oh, I love that one.
It definitely is. A tight-fitting knit hat, or at least like one of those outdoorsy hats with the chin, like the toggle, because it can be very windy. Like your baseball cap's flying.
Crazy. I'm going to love seeing these pictures, and I've already seen many of these pictures from your page, but I'm hoping you'll share. So, okay. So if you have any questions, contact Tracy, again, at Trips to the Mouse. Trips to the Mouse Tracy, is that right? That's the Facebook page?
That's my Facebook. Uh-huh.
Gotcha. So contact Tracy. She'll be a great resource for you. And she's a sweetheart. And she's in EDCOT, EDCOT. It's a Facebook group for essentially the show. And I think I've held you up enough today. I know you arrived home. Let everyone know. What time did you get home last night, Tracy?
About 3. I did sleep till noon, so don't feel too bad. But it's been like grocery shopping and laundry. I told Chris I stopped the washer and dryer so we could record this without all that noise in the background. So I got to resume my laundry.
That's the only downside of the cruise. You bring home all the dirty clothes. So, all right. So I'll let you get back to that. So for listening today, we hope we entertained you. We hope we piqued your interest in cruising, and specifically this cruise to Alaska, which sounds amazing. And it's like everyone's bucket list just got moved up a little bit to get there. So anyways, for listening and downloading, we appreciate it. We hope you have a great day. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.